This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 94 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And my whole internal clock was so off this week with the game being on Thursday that now that it's like a week out, I'm just itching for some action. I'm itching for some football, but we finally made it through this week. We are back on a normal schedule, and it feels great to be a Gamecock. The vibes are high. There's a lot of hope, a lot of optimism, I think. It's tough to read the group sometimes, but it's always a good time to be a Gamecock here. This episode is packed. Gonna focus mainly on the preview for Kentucky, but as always, want to do a week in review from around USC athletics here. So starting with Tuesday, the women's golf team took second place in the Windy City Collegiate Classic. That is alliteration like I've never seen, but way to go, Lady Gamecocks women's tennis team. Incredible second place job. Now, that was actually kind of it from the week, but Thursday, the women's soccer, they are playing against Mississippi State, and I just want to put it out there that they need a huge shout-out. They are having one hell of a season. Every time I see them on Twitter, it's some highlight reel play. They are kicking ass and taking names. Gamecock women's soccer, way to be, and I am manifesting a win against Mississippi State as you are about to take the field. Which brings me to Saturday preview for the Carolina Gamecocks football team here. South Carolina taking on 13th-ranked University of Kentucky, Kensucky, at 7:30 p.m. Saturday night in Lexington. Kentucky is 4-1 on the year, but they are coming off their first loss in a very close game against Ole Miss. That game was an absolute war. More on that in a little bit. But here we are yet again. Time is a circle. It is another critical game for South Carolina against Kentucky, especially in Lexington. But it just feels like, honestly, like every year this game is in a crucial spot with a lot on the line for either team, it feels like. And, you know, I talked about this last year a bit, but I think we are all past the point of taking Kentucky lightly. And I say that not just as a South Carolina fan, but as a college football fan in general. Like, they are here, this maybe hope, if you will, that they would eventually just kind of fall back down to the basement, and it was just a matter of time before other teams overtook them. I don't think that's the case anymore. I mean, you know, their brand of football is they are just going to grind it out. They have a team full of guys who've been there for years. They don't get a lot of guys who leave early. They don't get a lot of guys who transfer out. So they're very well versed in the system. And every time you play them, they're going to show up prepared and they're going to be ready to hit you in the mouth for four quarters. And couple that with the fact that the Gamecocks have to travel to the absolute house of horrors that is Kroger Field It's just been tough sledding no matter what for Carolina. No matter how good our teams have been, no matter who has been the coach, that place sucks. And that place just sucks the life out of the team. Like, I don't know what it is. It must literally be all of the horse crap that is in and around the city of Lexington. Just the stench of horse manure just sucks the life out of the Gamecocks, whatever it is. So it's going to be a tough challenge, right? And this game has enormous implications. So from our perspective, right now the Gamecocks are sitting at 3-2, put up a couple of solid performances against, let's be honest, our cupcakes. And it's nothing but tough matchups ahead. Granted, we have the bye week right around the corner after this game, right? But on top of the fact that this staff had a couple of extra days to prepare for this game, it just feels like the buildup is even more. So I was thinking about this earlier, and if Shane Beamer and staff really want to show that progress and to show that improvement year over year, this is a fantastic opportunity to do so. This game can serve as many things, but a measuring stick is certainly one of them, maybe the most important. First two SEC games of the year did not go according to plan, and the team was frankly not competitive. This game is a chance to reset that narrative and to change the narrative of how this team plays on the road as well. If this is a game where South Carolina can hang with the Wildcats from the start, and you can go down to the wire with a top 15 team, I would argue that would tell you a lot more about this team even without looking at the end result. We need to see this team and this program playing up to its competition, right? Not having to claw its way back from a deep hole or catching the opponent in a weird state, you know, where their coach is on the outs or something like that. You need to play up to the competition. That's what the great teams do, that in the big games and in the big moments, they show up. We need Shane Beamer to get this whole team to compete at the highest level for four quarters and prove that this team has what it takes and is no longer just close. We've heard that for a few weeks now, that this team is close. They're getting there. Rubber's got to meet the road eventually. Let's see this team compete for four quarters and arrive. The fact of the matter is, y'all, kind of brings a tear to my eye to say this. This is the halfway point in the year, if you can believe it or not. Hurts my heart. But if you can go up to Lexington, scratch out a win, imagine that. You're looking at a 4-2 record heading into your bye week with an extra week of prep coming home. It's a whole new season at that point, y'all. Win totals and great bowl games are all there for the taking. And also, all of a sudden, people are looking at South Carolina differently after taking down a Kentucky team that was ranked very highly from the jump of the year. But on the other side of that coin, if you can't get the job done, you're at 3-3 in the bye week. You might be where a lot of people predicted, but now the thought process changes from being a hunter to simply hoping to find a path to a bowl game, which I don't want to do again. I know y'all don't want to do it again. And I know that this staff and this team doesn't want to do it again. Additionally, the matter of which that happens, if it doesn't go our way, can definitely factor into things moving forward as to who continues to play where, but also who coaches where. What are different coaches doing, particularly on the offensive side of the ball? So I don't know. Again, it's a great opportunity here. This Kentucky team was just in a war on the road at Ole Miss. And the biggest news out of that game, breaking today essentially, is that Will Levis is more than just a little banged up. We all saw the picture of his broken, damn near decapitated finger that he was able to play through. But now it's coming out that he actually has a pretty big injury. And he's been walking around in a boot. And in that game, I remember a moment where he got rolled up on. And he got up slow, got up limping. And they talked about it, but he played through it and never came up again. I guess it caught up with him now. There is considerable evidence that he might not go. In fact, the betting line opened at 13.5 points in favor of Kentucky about a week ago. It's steadily dropped towards our way, but it just fell off a cliff. And now the Wildcats are only favored by 6.5 points. That tells me that Vegas knows something. They know that Levis is worse than questionable. And their backup quarterback hasn't thrown a pass in college. He's a redshirt freshman. I know nothing about him. I know he's a pro-style guy, like a 3- or 4-star recruit. But he hasn't thrown a pass in college. Now, I know us Gamecock fans, myself included, have a lot of PTSD from backup quarterbacks in their first SEC game. But nevertheless, this could be a moment. And I don't care that we could be facing a team without their potential first-round NFL quarterback. One player does not make a top 15 team. This is still a very good team. Now, also on top of Levis, Kentucky is banged up. They got a couple guys on the defensive side who I think are out. I know their starting linebacker's out. They're also banged up on the O-line. They've been dealing with injuries all year. And they had to travel back from Ole Miss. And that Ole Miss team, I believe, exposed some things, especially on the offensive side, on the offensive line, mind you. So hopefully South Carolina can pick up on that and exploit it. Nice part about having that extra couple of days rest is I bet you every single coach on our staff watched the Ole Miss-Kentucky game. They all did their thing after that. Some of them graded films, some of them spent time with the family, but I bet you they all watched that game and took notes. So it's going to be very interesting to see. And a lot of the things are lining up. I'm not going to get ahead of myself because we've been burned by this before, but very interesting to see. Kentucky ranks 11th in the SEC in points per game with 28. So they're not really blowing anybody out of the water. They do have Chris Rodriguez back. I just cannot wait until this guy graduates. Get him the hell out of the East, please. Even so, before him, they were only averaging 86 yards per game on the ground. He's going to bring a different dynamic to that. So who knows, right? Maybe the offensive line is the problem. But my hope is that maybe all of these factors come into play Saturday night and the Gamecocks are able to go in there and make it a very competitive game. Which brings me to my crow to the game. So overall for the team, I have two for the overall. First one is start balanced. Not necessarily have to start fast, but start balanced. And what I mean by that is there's been all this talk about the offense needing to start fast, get points early on in the game. Well, I also would challenge the defense to not give up points early, which has been an issue for South Carolina in these big-time competitive games, especially on the road this year and last year. So if the defense is able to keep Kentucky off the board for their first possession or two, let's call it, that can take the burden off the offense a little bit if their first drive stalls out. Now, it's not pressure. Okay, guys, it's 0-0. We can do this. So start balanced. Don't start where the defense gives up a bunch of points and now the offense has to catch up and vice versa. My second crow to the game is Beamer ball. These two teams feel like it could be even. Vegas is telling you it's less than a touchdown. What's going to be a difference in that game? Special teams play. Can you make a play, whether that's a good return? Can you block another kick? Can you steal a possession, steal some field position? Beamer ball. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, my first crow to the game is feed Marshawn Lloyd. He's proven to be our most consistent playmaker on this offense, and we need to game plan as such. Kentucky's rush defense may be the strength of that defense, but they are down at least one starting linebacker, as I said. And no matter what, In my mind, we have to be stubborn in trying to establish the rush. And Marshawn needs to be the guy to get The Rock to do so. He's proven it. He's a big, strong guy. He's fast in space. All it takes is a couple to break. My second crow to the game on offense is push the ball downfield more than we've seen. A lot of the last two games were swing passes, dinking and dunking, and Shane Beamer talked about it, that you're not going to be able to win in the SEC doing that. But I do think a lot of that was by design for those games, regardless of what a lot of people may think. I think that was by design. But again, that's not going to get it done in the SEC. We've seen our big three receivers, Triple J, Jaheim, Juice, and Jalen, be able to make plays down the field. And we know Spencer has the arm, so we need to push throws into that second level of defense and beyond. It doesn't always have to be the home run. And I think that's what Spencer needs to learn. Doesn't always have to be the home run. But we need to get more than just a couple of throws 10 yards and up. Need to push it. Make them respect it. You know, I believe Kentucky's backfield, you know, it's littered with underclassmen. They do have some playmakers. But you look at their depth chart. Sophomore here, freshman there. Yeah, senior here, junior there. But it's a real mixed bag. You know, they've been giving up more yards in the air than they have on the ground. You know, before the SC State game, I put out there that we needed to see some deep shots to get that timing down, getting that rhythm for these games. And we saw a couple in the SC State game, so it's time to see if it translates. Now on defense, my first crow to the game is take away the deep shot. Now, mind you, this is sort of if Levis plays, right? But this is on the whole defensive backfield, but I'm really putting this on the safeties to help to the right side and make the correct read. Now, Levis loves to push the ball downfield. He has an amazing deep ball, which is why the scouts love him. However, if you take that away, he has struggled at times to make the right read. And even if it's some kid who's making his first start, when they got weapons on the outside, the offense likes to push the ball down. If you take that away, yeah, he's going to like the short throws because they're easier. But now he may be a little bit more rushed. They got to take certain things away from the playbook. I don't know. Kentucky is fourth in the SEC in passing yards. They got playmakers on the outside. Our D-backs have to be up for the challenge, regardless of where they're throwing it. But just keep the play in front of them. Now, luckily, this is the healthiest our backfield has been in weeks, so, you know, fingers crossed there. My second crow to the game on defense is hold them to average on the ground. Kentucky's 86 yards per game that I mentioned earlier enough is good enough for dead last in the SEC. Again, things are going to change with Chris Rodriguez back. He's clearly going to be able to get something going, but that offensive line is not getting a lot of push, so you have to make that the norm. Younger guys like Gilbert Edmond and Stone Blanton have found more playing time. Boogie Huntley should be 100%. So this new-look front seven has to step up to the plate, match the physical nature of Kentucky, and win its fair share of the battles. So overall for the game, you know, it's a big moment. It's a big moment for the young tenure of Shane Beamer to prove that he can get his team ready to play in the big game at night on the road. It's a big moment for this team who have had 2 weeks to get right after being embarrassed early in the year and to show that they are a resilient group who will play for each other and rise up to the occasion and try to prove the doubters wrong, frankly. I mean, being a South Carolina fan as long as I have, I know the reality that Kentucky is and the challenge that they are. And how consistent they have become as a program. But our team needs to prove that they belong and that they are, in fact, on the right path. You know, I'm not in the business of moral victories. I don't think our fan base is either. I mean, shit. Our fan base sometimes has a problem with a regular victory. I mean, but if we can at least show that we can hang with one of the top programs in the East, show the competitiveness and the fight that we always hear about, then I think we can at least see the trajectory of this program and hopefully for this team this season. You know, I fully expect a war in this game. I think it will be physical. I think the defense will show up more than it did against Arkansas. And honestly, I think the offense shows more creativity than we've seen. And I think this is a game heading into the fourth quarter. And if Kentucky is truly as banged up as it sounds like they are, South Carolina is the healthiest it's been in a couple of weeks. We got a couple extra days to prepare. I think if this game gets to the fourth quarter and it's who wants it more, we might just have what it takes. But we have to start balanced. We can't let it get away from us. You got to take the crowd out of it. And fingers crossed, you know, that's all we got. I don't give a crap that someone's hurt on Kentucky. I don't. I want a W. We need this W. You get to 4-2 on the season before your bye week, it's a whole new season. You get a little bit of that monkey off your back. Can't win on the road in the SEC type stuff. Prove the haters wrong. Let's get in a groove. We had 2 weeks to get right. Get in a rhythm. Do everything. Let's go get it done, boys. Go Cox. And with that being said, that brings me to the six-pack of picks. Because believe it or not, we are not the only game being played. For any new listeners, I pick six games of the week. One from the Power 5 conferences and one from the Group of 5. So here we go. ACC, Virginia Tech at Pitt, -14.5. That game is at 3:30. I think Virginia Tech just kind of stinks. Big 12, game of the day outside of ours, TCU at Kansas. Kansas +6.5. We are riding with Kansas football. They have been hot. That game is at noon. College game day is there. Unbelievable what's going on in Lawrence, Kansas. Pac-12, give me Utah -3.5 at UCLA. That game is also at 3:30. 3:30 is a big time slot for the six-pack. Big 10, Friday night lights, y'all. Nebraska at Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, over 48. Just feels right. SEC, give me Mizzou +11 at Florida. That game is at noon. Feels like the games that Florida has played against Power 5 teams, SEC teams, have been close. Mizzou was just there with Georgia. 11 feels like a good number. Group of 5, riding with Air Force again. Air Force -10 at Utah State. That game is at 7 p.m. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.